One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields. And as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. You can kind of see this in your mind. And the Pharisees were saying, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" That's the question. Question, answer, right? So Jesus is going to answer that question by revealing something about himself. And he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God at the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for anyone to eat, but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was not made for man, but man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." He's revealing something about himself. And then he's going to put into practice this teaching that he just gave. And I hope to unpack this in a way that makes a lot of sense to us. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. So he's in a synagogue, a man's there with a withered hand. Can you see it in your mind? And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. Wouldn't you like to hang out with the Pharisees? They're the fault finders. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger. Man, legalism, how does Jesus view that? He looked around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of heart. Interesting, anger and grieving put together in the same sentence. And said to them, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would show us some truths about legalism. I pray that you would shine your light into our own hearts and reveal to us areas in our own life where we have been legalistic. Lord, please speak to us. Make your church a pure bride for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to accomplish four things. We're going to talk about the occasion. What's the situation about this? That's in verse 23. Then we're going to talk about the accusation that was made against Jesus. That's found in verse 24. Then we're going to look at Jesus' teaching and how that answers their question, that's 25 to 28, and then the application found in verse chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Let's look at the occasion first. One Sabbath. Everyone say Sabbath. Are you still with me? One Sabbath. One Sabbath. The Sabbath tells the time, and it is the whole topic. And so we have to understand something about the old covenant regarding the Sabbath. The word Sabbath means rest or to cease from labor. It's a day of rest, okay? The Sabbath was first observed by God himself. When he had finished creation, he had a day of rest. In fact, God blessed the Sabbath. We read this in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. I'm giving you kind of a background about the Sabbath because we have to answer the question, did Jesus break the Sabbath law? And so Genesis 2, verse 2 says this, "And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. He rested from on the seventh day from all the work that he had done." So God, what did he do? Is a blessing a burden? He said, I'm going to make a burden for mankind. Or did he bless it? Bless. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. He set it apart. This is under the old covenant, because on it God rested from all the work that he'd done in creation. So the first person to observe the Sabbath was who? God. You're going to have to help me today. We're going to work together, okay? The first person to observe the Sabbath was God, and God blessed it. Not only did he bless it, but he commanded the Jews to remember it, to keep it, okay? It's the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. It reads this way. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but on the seventh day, it is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not work. You, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or your sojourner in your midst. Why did they have to list all those things? Because God knew human nature. The dishes are dirty. Dad walks into the room. He sees the dishes are dirty. What's he going to do? Hey, kids, come here. My children are laughing. There's work to be done. I'm observing the Sabbath. Therefore, my son, my daughter, my... No, he says, everyone rest. That's the way it is. For in 6 days, God made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. So it's a commandment, but it's a commandment that is what? It's blessed. Okay? Therefore, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. A blessing, not a burden. A blessing, not a burden, was the Sabbath under the old covenant. Next, we learn that it was made for man. Made for man. Jesus, quote, said this, the Sabbath was made for who? Man. Not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. It's a blessing. It's a commandment. Why did God, can you imagine having to command someone to rest? That's kind of weird. I command you to take a vacation. I mean, that's just, but God knew how driven his people would be, and so he made it a commandment. Essentially, imagine going and applying for a job, and your employer telling you, I want you to know you're going to get 52 days of paid vacation. Wouldn't that be awesome? We'd be like, okay. Essentially, that's what God is saying. He was saying, I'm going to give you one out of every 7 days to rest, a blessing for you. By the way, that's 7.5 weeks out of the year. And God is saying, I'm going to provide for you. That's the Sabbath under the old covenant. Jesus, by the way, he lived under old covenant times. In your Bible, there's a New Testament, right? But there's also an Old Testament. The Old Testament is the first covenant God made with his people, and the New Testament is God's second covenant. And so these events that we're reading about are under the old covenant. In fact, the new covenant was not put in place until when? Does anyone know? When was the new covenant put in place? Well, we'll learn about it. Jesus, when he went to the upper room, he took bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body, which was given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, he took a cup and they, likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, said, this cup is poured out for you. This cup that is poured out for you is the what? New covenant. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection brought in the new covenant. And so the events that we are learning about today, Jesus' whole life was spent under the old covenant. And Jesus, by the way, came to fulfill the old covenant. Do not think I have come to abolish the law. He's being accused of breaking the law, right? Don't think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Here's what we learn about the Sabbath. And because we need to know this to be able to judge, did Jesus break any laws? So God blessed it. God commanded the Jewish people to observe and keep it. The Sabbath was made for man. It was a gift for man to rest. Rest is a gift. Rest is a gift. After my stroke, guess what I couldn't do? I couldn't sleep. I would lay in my bed and I'd hear my wife sleeping. I'd hear my dog snoring. I'd get up and walk around and see my kids sleeping. Everyone in the world around is dead asleep, but I couldn't sleep. I guess that's a side effect of having a stroke. It's a blessing, this ability to rest. It is something that God created, and that Jesus kept the Old Testament. So let's move on. I need you to click on the next slide for me. We're looking at the occasion. We have to understand the Sabbath, so we know something about the Sabbath. He was going through the grain fields. Let me explain that to you. You might be tempted to say he's trespassing, but it's not trespassing at all. During Jesus' day, it was not developed like the world is not developed like it is now. In Africa would be a good example. In Liberia, where we lived for a number of years, we had two main roads that went through Africa, or not Africa, but Liberia. And then you would have bush roads that go off of it. And these bush roads sometimes would be wide enough for a car to go through. Sometimes they would be more narrow than that. If you wanted to get on this bush road, you would have to take a motorbike. And sometimes they would even be narrower than that. And the only way to get through these bush roads was to walk. That's the kind of environment that is going on here. As you would walk through the bushes of Liberia, you would see one person's property to the left, one person's property to the right. You would see their fields, and you would literally walk through their fields on a road that connects towns. That's what's going on here. And as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. They would take it, they'd pluck it, they'd rub it in their fingers, they'd throw it in their mouth. That's what they did, okay? If you're a farmer, you would maybe say, wait a second, isn't that stealing? Maybe they broke the law because they stole my grain. Well, the Old Testament made provisions for people who were traveling. They didn't have McDonald's and Wendy's and other things like this in Jesus' day. And so if you were traveling, how would you feed yourself? Deuteronomy 23 says, if you go into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes. Now, if I come into your garden and start uprooting your carrots and eating them, will you be happy with me? But it was allowed under Old Testament law. That's how everyone, when they traveled, kept themselves alive. And that you can have your fill of the grapes, as many as you want, but you shall not put any in your bag. That would be stealing if you put it in your bag, but you could grab something and eat it. And then it goes on and says, but if you go through your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the ears with your hand, but you shall not put a sickle in your neighbor's standing grain. So you could pluck it and eat. That's how God provided for the travelers during that time. And so the question is, I know that took a little bit of time, did Jesus in any way break a law? Did he break a law? Or was he observing the Sabbath? And the truth is, he didn't break any law. His disciples were walking through a field that was not trespassing, plucking heads of grain that was allowed by the law on the Sabbath. He did not break a law. But the accusation came in verse 24. The Pharisees were saying, look. By the way, if you ever feel the urge or the need to tell God, look, there's something wrong with you. He sees, he knows. Legalism makes us think we're bigger than God, more important than God. Look, God, don't you see this? Who do they think they are? Look, as if Jesus didn't see, didn't know what was going on. Look, we're going to talk about this legalism problem. And Jesus is going to absolutely make it clear, abundantly clear, No matter the cost, this legalism has got to be out. This cannot go in my church. He's going to make it abundantly clear, so much that he's willing to put his life on the line. They started making counsel about how to destroy him. That's how important getting legalism out of the church is to God. Amen? Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? But he hadn't broken any laws. The Pharisees ask a question. Jesus gives an answer. I'm going to give this illustration again, but I'm going to show you some of the laws of the Pharisees regarding the Sabbath. We've already examined God's law, so we know it, right? Are you with me? So what were the Pharisees' laws? The Bible represents God's law. What's it represent? These represent the traditions of the elders, man's law. What do they represent? Okay, let's see this. The tradition of the elders, man, I hope my voice can make it all the way. They had laws about wine, and that's not talking about little kids who are not happy. Laws about honey. Man, laws about honey? Is that in the Bible anywhere? Laws about milk. They had laws about spitting. I don't think they would approve of Jesus spitting and then touching the blind man. And I don't know. Maybe they would. Laws about riding. Laws about getting even dirt off your clothes. What were the laws of the Sabbath? I'm going to read these and you'll say to yourself, okay, this is ridiculous. A scribe could not carry a pen on the Sabbath. That's man's law. Is that in the Bible anywhere, by the way? And not in there, I don't think. I have never seen it. A tailor could not carry a needle. Man's law or God's law? Man's law. So we add that a little bit to God's law there. Students couldn't carry a book. They might be tempted to read it. Man's law or God's law? Is that in the Bible anywhere? Not in the Bible. That's man's law. You could only travel 3,000 feet from your house. That's 1,999 steps. It's on the Sabbath. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now the Pharisees are traveling with Jesus on the Sabbath, right? What are the Pharisees doing? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Legalist. It'll make you do crazy stuff, irrational things. 3,000 feet, is that in the Bible? Yes, no? Maybe so? Okay. If you use a rope, you can extend your house. Imagine that. You have a house made of brick and mortar or mud or whatever. But if you tie a rope to your neighbor's house, well, then their house becomes part of your house and allows you to do some laws inside of that. But if your neighbor ties his house to his other neighbor's house, well, that extends it also. We follow the laws inside my house when this rope is connected. Anyone ever heard of this before? Do you know that's still practiced today? I was amazed. I had no idea. But it's still practiced today. In fact, in Cincinnati, there's a rope around the Jewish community. And inside that rope, because their laws are specific to in-house or out-of-house sort of requirements, you're allowed to travel anywhere inside that box. There's actually ropes connecting telephone to telephone to telephone around the Jewish community, and that is considered your house. That's a law. God's law or man's law? Man's law. In case you're wondering if it's just isolated, it's not an isolated event. It's also in Cleveland. It's also in Columbus. This is what it looks like. This is a rope that goes around connecting light pole to light pole, and there they are adjusting the rope. There it is again. Yeah, that's Sabbath day laws is the reason why they do that. You cannot carry a load heavier than a fig, a dried fig. Man's law or God's law? If the object weighs less than a fig, you can carry it twice. Whew, so thankful. Obviously, another law. These were the laws that the Pharisees were following. By the way, this is what a dried fig looks like if you're trying to figure out how much work you can do today. If an object is picked up in a public place, it cannot be set down in a private place. Man's law or God's law? Are you with me? Why am I going through all these? I'm taking time because this was what the Pharisees were teaching, and this is what legalism will form in the heart of a church. Amen? Women could not wear jewelry because it was heavier than a dried fig. God's law, man's law. Let's move through these a little bit quicker. No insects could be killed. God's law or man's law? Man's law. You couldn't eat anything larger than an olive. God's law or man's law? Okay. Eggs could not be boiled even if you stick them in hot sand. Man's law or God's law? Okay. Radishes could not be left in salt water lest they turn into pickles or something like that. Man's law or God's law? They're saying that's work is why they don't do that. If you throw something in the air, you cannot catch it with the other hand because that would be moving it. Whew. This is how fun it was for the Pharisees on Sabbath. God's law or man's law? Nothing could be bought or sold. Clothes could not be dyed or washed. We'll just add these on here one at a time. Letters could not be sent, even if you sent them by someone else, the Gentiles. You could not light a fire. Fires could you could not put out a fire. How about that one? A fire could be started, though, however, the day before the Sabbath and let burn through the Sabbath, and you could, in some ways, use that fire. So you could start your fire the day before. By the way, Jewish people today, as I was doing study, they have their lights set on a timer so that they turn on before the Sabbath begins and they stay on all the way through the Sabbath. You could not bathe. Boy, the Pharisees, how would you like to hang out with that? Lest you spill some water on the floor, and the effect might be you wash the floor. You cannot move a chair over dirt floor because it might make a rut, and that constitutes plowing. That's work. You cannot look in a mirror because you might be tempted to pluck out a hair. You could only carry enough ink to write two letters of the alphabet. That's how much ink you could carry. Could not wear false teeth because it weighs more than a fig. You could not pluck grain on the Sabbath unless you were starving, and that's really kind of hard to it's not objective. Could only keep the sick alive. You could not treat them. If you treated them and made them better, that would be what? Work. So don't get sick on the Sabbath. No sowing, plowing, planting, harvesting, no grinding flour, no baking, no threshing, no binding, no kneading dough, no dusting, no preparing meat, no shearing, no spinning, no separating or weaving two threads, no tying knots or untying them. I don't know what their shoes look like. No sewing of two stitches, and it could go on and on and on. That is legalism. Amen? Are you with me? That is the religion of the day. It's the accepted practice of the day. And if Jesus does not confront it, in a very real way, then that is going to get into the heart of this, of his church. Is Christianity compatible with legalism? Last week, there were two parables Jesus told. He said, no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, it will tear away from the old, making the tear worse. Is this compatible with the Christianity that was going to follow Jesus' ministry? Yes or no? No. Jesus told a second parable last week. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins, but new wine is for fresh wineskins. It's a parable about compatibility. Is the church at all compatible with that system? No, it is not. What is the fruit of legalism? Straight from our Lord Jesus' mouth. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! What is the fruit of legalism? It's hypocrisy. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make him twice as much the child of hell as you are. Where does it get you in your relationship with God? Does legalism get you anywhere with your relationship with God? Nowhere. Jesus also, and Matthew 23, 27 says this, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs. Which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. Woe to you. Legalism is not allowed in God's church. What was Jesus' response to a whole society that is given to these rules and regulations? What were his words that he wanted to share with the world around them? In Matthew, right before this verse, talking about the situation that we just read, the Sabbath day, and plucking heads of grain and harvesting them, right before this verse, guess what Jesus said? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Interesting, we're going to talk about rest, the Sabbath day, the very next verses. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Don't learn from them, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest, a gift from God. Rest. You will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is addressing this issue of legalism, and his message to the world around was, come to me, my burden is light. Is this burden light? No. It's more work to keep the Sabbath than the other 6 days of the week to follow all the rules and regulations. So the accusation was, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Whose law was Jesus breaking? Whose law? Man's law. Did he break God's law? No. Legalism elevates man's law above God's law, and it is wrong. The occasion, the accusation, and Jesus' teaching, He told a story, and at first we might say, how in the world does this story have anything to do with legalism? Here's the story. And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God at the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. How in the world does this story relate to the Sabbath? The story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And so let's break it down. Have you never read what David did? David was an icon, a celebrity in the Jewish people. The Pharisees would admire David. David was the big guy. And so he's drawing out of the story of David because that's someone that they would respect. And to the Pharisees, he's saying, have you never read? The Pharisees prided themselves in knowing the scriptures and teaching the scriptures. It's as if Jesus was saying, this is like ABC stuff. Are you seriously ignorant about your celebrity, David? When he was in need and was hungry, when was that? It was a time where Saul was pursuing him. David had become, he had been very successful. Saul was jealous, and Saul was determined to kill David. Jonathan arranged a way of sending a message to David to tell him whether it was safe or not safe. And after telling him, my father, Jonathan was King Saul's son. My father intends to kill you. David ran for his life. That's the context of this story. He's running with only the clothes that are on his back. He has great need. He has his future is so unknown. So when he was in need and hungry, this is at a time where David is fleeing, and he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar and ate the bread of the presence. So as he was running away from Jerusalem, he entered Nob, and that's about a mile away from Jerusalem. So this is at the beginning of his fleeing. If you're fleeing with only the clothes on your back, what are you wanting to do? Get provisions, right? So he goes in, and he tells the priest, give me something to eat. He asks for 5 loaves of bread. And the priest says, wait a second. I have no common bread. I only have bread that has been set apart for God. The priest has a decision. Here's a man in need, and here's the law of God. What do I do? So the bread would be baked every Sabbath by the priest. He would bring it, put it on the golden table in 2 stacks. 6 loaves on one side, 6 loaves on the other side, and pour frankincense over that. That's found in Leviticus chapter 24. And then it would sit for a week, and then after the end of the week, he would bake new bread, put it on, remove the old bread, put the frankincense on it, and the old bread the priest was allowed to eat. But only the priest and his sons were allowed to eat the bread of the presence. And so what did the priest do? He had God's law, and he had a need, a real need. The priest told David, have you guys kept yourself pure? Yes. Here's the bread. He gave David the bread, which is breaking the law. Everyone with me? It's breaking the law, which is not lawful for anyone but the priest to eat, and he also gave it to those who were with him. Why this story? Jesus and David parallel. David was the king eventually. It was prophesied that the Messiah would be of the line of who? David. Mm-hmm. David had done nothing wrong. Jesus had done nothing wrong. David had Saul pursuing him and wanting to destroy him. Jesus had the Pharisees pursuing him and wanting to destroy him. You see the parallels here. David was hungry. Jesus was hungry. David went to the priest and ate the bread of the presence, which was against the law. He broke the law. Jesus, his disciples were hungry. They ate grain from the field, which is not breaking God's law, but it's breaking whose law? Man's law. And after eating, guess what? God did not punish David or the priest. Nowhere in Scripture does it mention God's punishment. And guess what? God did not punish Jesus either. Have you not read about David? Are you really this ignorant? Matthew's gospel tells another story, and I'm going to try to move very quickly because I realize our time is getting away from us. Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests profane the Sabbath but are guiltless? The priests have to work in the temple, right? To do their services, to start fires and all these kinds of things. The Pharisees didn't have a problem with that. And so he gave that illustration. And then he's going to reveal something about himself. I tell you the truth, one greater than the temple is here. What can be greater than the temple? Jesus? Who is Jesus, is the question. God. He's claiming to be God. And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the controller. He's the one who decides what's right or what's wrong with the Sabbath. Who is Jesus claiming to be? He's claiming to be God. Is he a liar? Is he a crazy man? Or is he Lord? And so we have Jesus' teaching about this, and then we have an illustration, and I'm going to go quickly through this illustration because I think it will make everything come together. And he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand, a need. Can you see it in your head? He entered the synagogue. A man was there. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath. They're watching him. Boy, I'd like to be friends with Pharisees. They watched to see if he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. So Jesus went in the synagogue. He's teaching. Are we told what he taught that day? No, we're not told anything about what he taught, okay? But they're watching to see if Jesus will heal this man. This, by the way, is the only healing in Scripture where the people did not request a healing of Jesus. This eradicating legalism was so important to Jesus that he's like, come here. You don't even have to ask me to heal you. I'm going to make a point here. Even if it costs me my life, I'm going to make this point because this cannot be in my church. And so he called the man. He said to the man with the withered hand, come here. He takes this issue of legalism and brings it right to the center of stage and saying, let's deal with this problem right here and right now. Come here. And he said to them, so he's going to put them in the driver's seat. They knew he could heal. And so he's going to say to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or to kill? He puts it out to them. They're in the driver's seat. And what were they? Silent. Huh. Legalism will make you totally blind to obvious things and make you insensitive to the needs of people. Matthew puts it this way. Jesus goes on and he says to them, which one of you, they're still in the driver's seat of what's going to happen with this man. Which one of you, if he had a sheep fall into a pit on the Sabbath, would take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? So is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Guess what? What were they? The room was... it was an awkward moment of silence. It was like this. And the longer it was silent, Jesus looked around at them with anger and grief at the same time. Anger that they didn't answer the question correctly. Grief that their hearts were hard because his heart is for them. He looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to say, legalism does not belong in my church. It does not belong in my church. The word of God, the law of God will be lifted high. And so what does he do? He looks at the man and he says, stretch out your hand. The man had a hand like this and he went. He stretched it out and his hand was restored. How much work did Jesus do on the Sabbath? Did he even say, be healed? Nothing. Could you accuse him of anything? The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians, their arch enemies, against him, how to destroy him. Legalism is like a cancer, and it must be rooted out of God's church. Real quick, and just closing, two last slides. What the fruit of legalism is: separation from your mission field, pride, build yourself up, other people going down. You become the fault finder. If you're looking for something wrong in someone, guess what you always find? Find something wrong. If you're looking for good, guess what you always find? Good. You know people that can only see good? One of them's right there, Barbara Reefy. You'll become a fault finder. You make excuses. It makes you accuse the innocent. It makes you a hypocrite. It causes you to join with your enemies to push your own agenda. And I just close by just reviewing. The Gospel of Mark was written that you would answer this question, who is Jesus? And this is what we have learned from the first year of his ministry. Jesus is the fulfillment of time. BC became AD. He is Lord. He has authority over demons and sickness. He is the only one who can make an unclean person clean. He is God and can forgive sins. He is the doctor who cures sins. He's the groom and we are the bride. He is greater than the temple. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. But my question for you is, who do you say Jesus is?